Today is the 18th Sunday after Pentecost, and there will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. And we will not be having benediction this evening. That will be starting on the first Sunday in October. If you missed the enrollment for catechism classes last Sunday, any of you parents, please see Brother Jared after Mass today. And the catechism classes will begin on Saturday, October 13th, after the 8:30 a.m. Mass. And then if you have donated any food items in the last few months, or if you've lost something, there are a lot of articles in the cabinet in the classroom, so you can go there after Mass if you wish to do that. The feast this week, today is the commemoration of St. Linus the First, one of the early popes. In fact, he was the pope elected right after St. Peter, so he had a huge responsibility to fill the shoes of St. Peter. So that's St. Linus. Tomorrow, commemoration of Our Lady of Ransom. Wednesday, as all the priests here have mentioned before, the debt we owe to these saints, St. Isaac Jogues and his companions, who about 400 years ago evangelized the area of our country, northeast area of New York and the adjoining part of Canada, evangelized the Indians in that area and paid the ultimate price of their lives by being brutally martyred by the Indians, the Iroquois and the Huron. But they made great converts, and because of their efforts, that's how this faith started. And the countless millions of Catholics in the northeast part of the country, in a great part, owe their faith to these saints. Thursday, September 27th, Saints Cosmas and Damian, early martyrs in the church, and they were also physicians, so they're patrons of doctors. Friday, St. Wenceslaus, whom I've spoken about at length before, but he is one of the great patrons, martyr of the church, patron of the people of the Czech Republic, Slovakia, that area. He was a duke, and we don't have time to go into his whole story today, but he was a devout young man due to his grandmother, St. Ludmilla, who taught him the faith. And it is very difficult for a person, whether it's a man or woman, to practice his or her faith when they are part of a court or leading their government. As you can see today, the heads of state are almost always the most corrupt people. But he had a very jealous brother who conspired with their stepmother to put him to death, and that's what they did. And you know the Christmas carol, Good King Wenceslaus. He wasn't a king, but after he was put to death, he was given that title of king. And then the last, and really the most important feast this week, is the feast of St. Michael the Archangel, the dedication of St. Michael the Archangel. That means the dedication of the church in his honor. I'm sorry there are not as many people attending Mass today for whatever reason, but maybe if you know who's missing today, you can pass the word that this is a very important feast because it not only honors St. Michael, the archangel, but also all the angels, because he is their leader. He is the head of the angels. Now, this feast falls on a Saturday, so that means more of you can attend, hopefully. But I think it also should be a massive reparation, because 2 weeks ago, on that, from the Feast of St. Michael, it was the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows, as you know, Seven Sorrows of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And I heard disturbing reports that a number of people refused to come. They could have come, and they did not want to come. So they refused, and these were young people. And some people were forced to come. So they had a bad heart. And that was, I found that remarkable, because, first of all, who on a Saturday has anything more important to do than assist at Mass to honor the seven sorrows of the Blessed Virgin Mary, to honor Our Lady? And all the more so because that feast, when it's during the week, most people, because they have to work or they have excuses, they're not able to come. And when it falls on a Sunday, it is not celebrated. The Sunday takes precedence. So when it's on a Saturday, that is not only Our Lady's day of the week, but also that is the one day every 5 to 10 years that all of you can assist at the Mass, the High Mass, honoring her. And not to have a hardened heart. So, you should examine your conscience. See what is in your heart. We have beautiful spiritual gifts here, denied to virtually everyone. And so this feast of dedication of St. Michael the Archangel, there'll be a high mass at 9 o'clock. There'll be confessions in the evening at the usual time of 7 p.m. So make every effort to come to that mass honoring St. Michael. And maybe, if you're extra generous, if you have felt you've neglected the Blessed Virgin Mary recently, say extra prayers, maybe an even extra rosary, to make up for your sins. And to, as you know, the rosary is a prayer to God with the assistance of Blessed Virgin Mary. She's praying with us. So maybe say a rosary of reparation. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians. Brethren, I give thanks to my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, because in everything you have been enriched in him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the witness to the Christ has been made so firm in you that you lack no grace, while awaiting the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also keep you secure unto the end, unimpeachable in the day of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 9, verses 1 to 8. At that time, Jesus, getting into a boat, crossed over and came to his own town. And behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a pallet. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, "Take courage, son, thy sins are forgiven thee." And behold, some of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemes." And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you harbor evil thoughts in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Thy sins are forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the paralytic, "Arise, take up thy pallet and go to thy house." And he arose and went away to his house. The crowd saw it, they were struck with fear, and glorified God, who had given such power to men. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. First of all, in today's epistle, we have the words from 2,000 years ago of St. Paul telling us how important the grace of God is. He says, just to repeat, "Even as the witness to Christ has been made so firm in you that you lack no grace while awaiting the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ." The gifts of God, the grace of God, is there for the taking. In fact, God gives it to us even when we don't ask for it. Because if we are baptized, God will give us grace to increase that grace. So here are examples. You can have a baptized Catholic, and they are maybe mediocre in their practice of the faith. And the Holy Spirit will give actual graces moment to moment, dozens, maybe hundreds every day, to increase that faith. You can have a Catholic who is devout, even saintly, holy, and they get graces. But they may get more because they are not wasting them. They take those movements of the Holy Ghost and they use them and profit for them to become even holier. That's how they became saints. You can have a baptized Catholic who's left the faith, abandoned devotions, turned his back on God and the Blessed Virgin Mary. And you know what? God is still giving grace to that person, even though they've betrayed him and they turn their back on him. Because the Holy Spirit, the sanctifier, is not going to be outdone by his generosity in giving these gifts. So the sinner is given graces of conversion or opening his mind to the truth. And in the end, that those graces can save him. Because even though we know and we've heard the expression that the way to hell, and it comes from the scripture, that it's a wide road, it's easy in a way for a person to lose his soul, especially in today's world. However, it is not so difficult as we think to get to heaven, to respond to those actual graces. So much so that these actual graces can be given to non-believers, to people who are following false religions. As you've heard some of the stories in the last few months about these vocations that contact us through the internet. So one of the most recent ones was a young man who was not a very devout Catholic, but did believe. And then he went to a very evil place. He went to college. I say that because, yes, college has its, and education has its purpose, but it is so dangerous because we've known so many people, and this young man lost his faith. He became a professed atheist and hated God. He told us this. And then it happened that he was in a class, I think it was a biology class, taught by a Protestant who was apparently surprised at this man's anti-God attitude. And so, talking to this professor, non-Catholic, the man told the student, why don't you read the Bible and look at these things in the Bible? And there was some passage in there that turned him around completely, and he realized he was had done a terrible deed of abandoning God. So he turned his life around, and he decided, where I am is dangerous. In fact, he was in a class taught by a very immoral professor who was attacking the church. And this young man stood up, rebuked the professor and the students. And he was, I believe he was kicked out of the class, but he was reprimanded, and he just quit college. And he said, why should I pay thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars to be indoctrinated so I lose heaven? And then he saw our videos on YouTube and our website, and that's why he's contacting us. So now he's trying to lead a good life and maybe even a religious life and be a priest. So I tell you that story. That's someone who's out in the wasteland struggling to get a little piece of what all of you have every day. We have some of these vocations. They see either a video or they go into a church and they see the Latin Mass for the first time and they are completely converted. There are some here right now, former seminarians and people among you. The first time you saw the Latin Mass, that was the day you said, I will never go back to what I had to put up with in the parish. And what is even more remarkable is every day or two we get contacts of young men 15, 16 years old, want to be a priest. They're not even Catholic. They see the Latin Mass on our videos and they want to know how they can become a priest. Some are in Europe, some are in the Orient. So those are some of the beautiful stories and the good things about the internet. But here, we have it so much more easy. We have the sacraments and the grace of God right before us. Now we have this touching story in the gospel of today. And our Lord As it says in the story, he got into the boat and went to his own town, Capernaum, his headquarters. And lo and behold, there were these group of people, a crowd forming, and all this commotion. And these were friends of a man carrying him on a stretcher or a pallet. And he was paralyzed. And in ancient times, even among pagans, it was considered if you are sick or have some malady, you're paralyzed or have some, you're a leper, that you've got that because you are evil. You're a terrible sinner and God's punished you. Well, the fact is, that's not true, but it is partially true, because God sends, permits us to become ill or even gravely ill. Sometimes to turn our lives around because of our sins or the sins of other people. So that soul is a victim soul to make up for sin. But the way the people in our Lord's time thought that that the man was evil and he was being punished directly, that is incorrect. But he had a type of palsy that paralyzed his whole body, and he had these tremors and seizures. So he was in a very bad state. And here you have friends who are loyal friends. They had heard about the powers, the reputation of our Lord to be a healer. And they, along with this man, not only revered our Lord for his ability to perform these miracles, but it was also and especially because they knew that he was God, or they believed he was God and had these powers. So they had faith, a very basic faith. And so because of the faith of this man and his friends, our Lord says to him, "Take courage, son. Your sins are forgiven you." Because our Lord, as it says earlier in the passage, he saw the faith of the people carrying him. They were not going to be denied. And there are many other stories in the Gospels about our Lord curing people because of their faith. Now, what causes in a person to be a sinner, to be affected by evil like this, to have doubts about God or indifference towards God? What's the prime source of that? Well, as we all know, it is none other than Lucifer. The head of all the devils. And he's very clever, very devious, very smart. He was the head of all the angels. And he decided that he was so important and so powerful that he thought that he could be like God, his creator. And he made a huge mistake. He gloried in himself. And as it says under the St. Michael statue, "Quis ut Deus" means, who is like God? That was believed to be the utterance of St. Michael the Archangel when Lucifer rebelled against God. St. Michael says, who is like God? No one can be like God. And because he said those words, he's named after that. Michael means who is like God. But I mention this because we must be very, very careful in our day-to-day lives about the temptations and the occasions of sin that come up from the devil. We know them. We know them objectively in the world. We know the ones that are in our lives personally. Those people around us, those places around us, and the things around us that lead us into sin, that will paralyze us, like this poor man in the gospel. Because that's what happens to sinners when they become unrepentant. They are paralyzed, literally, with the guilt that they have. And they have no interest even to be sorry. And this man had friends to help him. Are we going to have friends to help us if we go astray in such a serious way? Do we have friends right now? Those that we know, family members, friends, who will help us even if we go astray a little bit? Do we even care? We have to care because it's our souls that are at stake. And the thing is, our Lord has religious leaders that go after him. So when our Lord said to them, "Take courage, your sins are forgiven." Behold, some of the scribes said within themselves, they didn't say it out loud, they thought of it, "This man blasphemes." Can you imagine the audacity, the pride of these men to think that our Lord is blaspheming by saying the man to forgive the man's sins? And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you harbor evil thoughts in your hearts?" See, right there, they should have known he was God, because how would anyone know what they were thinking? But they turned their hearts away from God. They're jealous of his popularity and his power and his goodness because they were evil. And how often do we witness evil and bad people attacking good people because they're jealous of them? But our Lord says that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the man, "Arise, take up your pallet and go to your house." And he cured him. The man not only was cured instantly, but he took up the stretcher and carried it away himself. Because our Lord was saying, making the comparison, which is greater, forgiving a man of his sins or curing him of his bodily ills? Well, obviously, curing the soul's illness is much greater. But our Lord performed the miracle to help this man and to prove to his enemies that he is God. And they're not going to stop him, no matter what they say attacking him. So it's a beautiful account to showing the authentic mercy, the sincere mercy, the mercy of someone who is perfect and good to a poor man who had the need to have his sins forgiven and to have his body cured of its terrible illness. The last thing we'll say is something we will expand on Saturday, because it turns out it's my turn to have the High Mass for St. Michael the Archangel. And I know that some of you, it's impossible for you to come Saturday. So we'll speak just for a moment about the angels and the guardian angels. This feast is a few days later. Now, it is an article of faith, not at the same level as the Holy Trinity, that we all have a guardian angel. We have a protecting spirit that God gives us, not when we are conceived, but when we are born into the world. That is what theologians say. Each one of you has your angel right next to you right now as we speak. All of us do. I do. All of you, the sisters. And what are they doing? What do the guardian angels do for us? Well, they, through the power of God, are instruments of God's grace. So they will remind us to perform our duty, to pay attention during Mass or the sermon, to use our missal, to not be distracted, to not harbor evil thoughts, to not think about the bad things apparently that our neighbor has done to us, who may be a few places away in the chapel, but to think rather, have mercy on me, O Lord, because I'm a sinner. To inspire us to assist at Mass as often as possible, not just on Sundays and holidays. To do our spiritual reading. To say a kind word instead of something mean to our neighbor or family member. To avoid sins of anger or of lying, or sins of impurity, because the angels are very pure. They always see the face of God. And so they want us to see the face of God, and they're trying as much as possible, as in the few days and few years that they're with us, to keep us on the right track. And finally, don't you think not only should you speak to your guardian angel and thank him for his help, but how about following the spirit of the confiteor? Tell your guardian angel how sorry you are. Dear guardian angel, I am so sorry for forgetting you, for neglecting to pray to you. Here, God gave you as my guide and my helper, and I often ignore your inspirations. So I'm very sorry, and I'm especially sorry the sins I've committed while you watched me commit those sins. Say the prayer to your guardian angel. Angel of God, my guardian dear, whom once love commits me here, ever this day be at my side to light, to guard, to rule. Amen. May God bless you.